Hello and welcome to the November 7th edition of the Laughing Place podcast. Did you miss us?
No.
Guess not. Anyway, we're back. We had our big blowout podcast number 100, and then we decided to take an unannounced vacation for a couple weeks. So hope you missed us, but if you didn't, too bad, because we're back anyway. My name today is Pongo. On my left is Patch, a.k.a. Captain John.
Yar.
Oh, appropriate. On my right, the lovely and talented Perdita.
Woof, woof.
And across from me, none other than the evil one herself, Cruella De Vil, a.k.a. Fanboy.
That'd be the lowest one you ever felt.
And, of course, it is our 101st edition of the Laughing Place podcast, Dalmatians.
Oh, I was thinking...
Which is a laughingplace.com tradition that I completely forgot about, but thank you, Magnet, for reminding
that's
me on the board.
Funny.
There we have it. Credit where credit is due. Of course, I'm Doobie. That's Captain John, Rebecca the wife, and Fanboy,
who's not the wife.
Okay. Not the wife and not that evil. I mean, a little, but not that evil.
Thanks.
If you'd like to contact us.
You're kidding me.
You can at podcast@laughingplace.com or 866-718-9408. Or leave a message in the laughingplace.com discussion boards in the podcast section. I think most people like to do podcasts at laughingplace.com. That works just well for
mm-hmm.
us.
Yep.
So we've been gone for 2 weeks. You'd think we'd have a whole lot to talk about, but not really.
We don't.
So, but there was some big news today. So, Fanboy, Disney Company, they doing okay?
They're doing okay. They announced their earnings. Their earnings per share were $2.28, but if you exclude stuff that nobody cares about, it's $2.27, and that's compared to $1.92 for a prior year. If you just want to compare fourth quarter, it is 44 cents, 43 cents if you don't care about, if you don't count things people don't care about, and 42 cents compared to the prior quarter. However, noticeably, it was down from the prior quarter about, I want to say, 18%.
It was down from Q3 or down from Q4
down from, 07? No, it's up from Q4 07, but down from Q3
08.
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. But okay. Which is not necessarily a good thing because your quarter includes July, August, and September.
Right.
Which is generally big Disney months.
Mm-hmm. So is that a sign for concern?
Well, I don't know if do you... There's the macro and the micro. Should there be concern about the overall U.S. economy? Probably. Concern about the Walt Disney Company compared to the rest of the U.S. economy? Not so much. I mean, if you compare Disney to the rest of the media sector, they're still performing well, though they tend to get hit harder because of the theme parks, because people tend to – movie revenues don't really get affected by economy. The Great Depression actually helped the movie industry. However, and people are still going to watch TV, although advertising spending. Although Disney isn't really exposed to the advertising market nearly as much as others. But I guess it's okay. It's not great. I think what's more concerning is the tone that Bob Iger had in discussing the future, where he says, "This is clearly a difficult and unpredictable time, and while our businesses aren't immune, the strength of our assets, brands, and management team positions us well for the long term." Notice long term. It's never good. I shouldn't say it's never good, but usually when the CEO asks you to look at their financial results in the long term, you should expect something. So, I think we're all guessing that quarter Q1 for Disney probably won't be too bad. Well, High School Musical, Chihuahua.
The fairies
doing very well. The theme parks seem to be still doing pretty well. I think they're really concerned about Q2, which will be January, February, March. However, we won't get those results for about 6 months. So,
yep.
Now, from a fan's point of view, I mean, we care about the Walt Disney Company making money, but we also care about them spending money on the things
yeah,
we care
well,
about.
And I think if you look at that's one of my favorite lines, if you've listened to this podcast on earnings day before, is looking at capital expenditures at domestic theme parks. So that's any investment in the parks, resorts, and other property that would be defined within parks and resorts, so cruise ships and such. Year ending last year, they invested $816 million, whereas this year they invested $793 million. The goal was to get that up to about $1 billion. So you might think there was some slowing. I know that their impressive slate of attractions coming to Walt Disney World this year might hint otherwise.
Oh, yes.
But,
whoa.
You know, I think you're probably, you know, I think Walt Disney World, if I was Walt Disney World management, would be concerned because they're having a harder time than Disneyland keeping their costs under control. But at the same time, you know, DCA is locked into that certain figure. Mm-hmm. So if they try and maintain lower capital expenditures, Walt Disney World's probably going to get the brunt of the lack of stuff.
Ouch.
Interesting.
So Night Kingdom might be delayed?
Hey, our bowling alley's been delayed.
Yeah, I know.
And that wasn't
a money
issue.
That. And that's, no,
not
it
a
is
Disney
money.
Issue.
It's not a Disney money issue because it's actually being done by an outside group.
Patina group,
yet,
right?
As yet unnamed still. And apparently
Sachs?
They are unable to...
Garden Walk?
To get the money. Another company that seems to be... outside company that's going to have impact on Disney is Saks, Inc. And they are closing their Libby Lou chain. They've decided to refocus on just their, Saks Fifth Avenue brand, and that will impact the downtown Disney.
There was such cross-promotional synergy that was able to go.
Oh, come on. Moms that can afford to send their kid to Club Libby Lou are the Saks.
But, see, I'm wondering if this is a mixed blessing, because we know Disneyland is going to be opening Bippity Boppity Boutique.
Not for Club Libby Lou, it's not.
But who cares about them? Because Club Libby Lou's lost money, so I think the Saks Fifth Avenue people don't care, and Disney's looking at like, hey, we don't have to compete with our own Hannah Montana makeover being offered by Club Libby Lou and the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique product offered in Fantasyland.
It made me wonder if they would reconsider that Fantasyland location and perhaps look at the opportunity to put it in downtown Disney. But
that's a great idea.
Because, I mean, when I was thinking about Fantasyland, I'm like, it's not a very big footprint to begin with.
No.
So, and this would also permit you to have makeovers outside of a theme park admission if you wanted to have, like, a party at the hotel or whatnot. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where is it better to have it inside where you have to pay admission to get in? Or would you prefer to have your product, you know, out there where the general masses can get
Definitely
to it? So
or do it Disney World style and just do both.
See, I understand Disney World style with both because they're so spread out. But there, that I wonder if they could...
Well, see, I wonder if the Magic Kingdom, Disneyland version could cater to the little princesses and the ones coming to the Magic, Disneyland, you know, maybe their hotel guests and things like that,
right.
Whereas the downtown Disney location might focus more on the birthday party kind of local market, which, I know Goofy's Candy Company here at Florida is opening up a birthday room.
Exactly.
Maybe they're looking want to do something similar.
That makes a lot of sense, I think. And Marceline is pretty close to it.
Well, and Build-A-Bear, they have parties,
like
and that's there's a bit of a cross market as far as the target age group.
Young children,
your little the little girls, you know, they're the ones that are going to be at the age where, you know, they want to make their own teddy bears and have a little teddy bear picnic party. You know, I think there's some crossover as far as that age bracket with the Libby Loot, with the Bibbidi Bobbidi.
Yeah.
I
hope Disney does go that route. It would be nice to see that. Plus, I like the idea of having one more Disney location in downtown Disney. It's got Marceline right now. And are there any others?
World of Disney.
Yeah, but that's...
Is Vault 28 considered a Disney location?
Yeah,
unfortunately.
They could have one less as well.
The Times actually ran a rather thorough piece today on the whole Disney Couture high-end
Great
products.
Timing.
Is it juicy?
They also talked about the furniture, the fact that they have this furniture line from Drexel and various other things. It was funny because this one lady was talking about her friends had bought her a handbag and she, you know, got a lot of compliments on it. She really liked it. And then she was on an airplane and the stewardess said, "Oh, I love your Alice handbag." And she's like, "Alice." And then when she looked at it, she realized there was an Alice in it. She hadn't even realized that it was there.
Funny.
She said, "I actually like it less now." And I just thought it was funny because it's kind of a illustration of exactly what Disney's trying to overcome in a way is the concept that they aren't, you know, part of that whole scene. So.
Yeah, that handbag has more songs in it than any other handbag. That's my Alice fact.
I'm looking
it's
forward
also most
to.
Never mind.
There's apparently a clothing line coming that's based upon Fantasia, and it's not like character driven; it's palette driven. So it'll be the color palette from Fantasia.
Oh,
will be
color palette.
Does the Fantasia color palette come from something other than the 16.7 million I'm already familiar with?
So that'll be fun.
RGB 025.
I'm going to eat a Stegosaurus.
not that I'll ever afford it or would want to probably pay that much for whatever garments they're going to come up with, but it'll be interesting to see how that's revisioned as a wardrobe line.
You know, they should do the same thing except for Steamboat Willie.
Now that's the palette I can understand.
Don't they have a whole store like that? White and black, black and white. Didn't they used to have that at the mall in Westminster?
No, but Michael Jackson made an album.
Beginning of Wizard of Oz, we saw. Let's see. Any movies come out since we last podcast? I'm trying to think. The Clock One, yeah, but that was the sequel. This was the trequel.
16 minutes till we start the
boys are back. That was a bad song, by the way.
High School Musical.
I have to say that Boys Are Back thing, that just didn't work for me at all.
I mean, High School Musical is a fanciful thing, and so when things just totally get weird, it's like, you know, you go with it, it's okay, but that was definitely
the dance scene in the junkyard?
That was definitely
the whiz moment.
not a jump the shark moment, a nuke fridge moment. Something new I learned this week.
What's that?
That's when a sequel veers from the course. Kind of the equivalent of jumping the shark for a sequel.
Oh.
Going back to Indiana Jones when he jumps in the fridge to avoid the nuclear attack.
Explosion. Oh. Awesome.
There you go. I learned that this week. Don't know
That's
where.
So funny.
But actually, I did quite enjoy the movie. What about you guys?
I liked it. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't... I think one is my favorite. And I think I may have liked this one a little bit more than two. But, I think I may have.
Do you think it was worthy of the big screen, or was it any...
I thought they did a good job of bringing it to the big screen. They didn't, like, overdo it, but mm-hmm. I thought that they showcased... Their dance numbers were done in such a way... It was funny. I had flashback newsies during the junkyard scene.
Flashback newsies?
Newsies flashbacks, sorry.
Oh.
Extra, extra, read all about it in 1920.
I did. I had totally felt like, wow, it's like the streets of New York all over again.
Oh, with Billy Joel.
Yeah, exactly.
From Oliver and Company.
Streets of Gold, about New York City.
I understand.
It was a stretch, yes.
So, what's new?
What'd you think of it, fanboy?
I liked it. It wasn't great, but it was good. It was good. It was fun. I mean, it was worth the $10 or whatever it was.
Do you like the new cast that they were trying to kind of slowly introduce and warm us up to?
No.
I like the boy, Rocket Man.
Okay.
Rocket. Duh.
So now to Elton John now?
But yeah. the Rocket Man's little friend seemed to have, like, no reason to be there whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the girl had that whole Sharpay thing going on. The little boy just seemed like he had 5 lines in the movie, and I'm not quite sure why he was there.
I must admit, I'll get to you in a moment, Captain. I do have one plot confusion on this rather complicated film. In the beginning, why did Rocket Man get the winning shot? I mean, he's a bench warmer. That's not very realistic, is it? Or am I missing something?
No, see, Zac Efron, or Troy, I guess, was double-teamed.
So I know. There are a lot of guys on that team who actually play on a regular basis. Why get the guy off the end of the bench at the last second?
So they can introduce the
I just want to make sure that's the only reason.
Let's introduce the new guy.
Captain, did you like it?
I was too busy plundering SeaWorld with Captain Jack Sparrow.
So you didn't see it?
I didn't see it at all, no.
Oh, no, he is collecting booty.
Your duty is derelict.
No, that was number two.
It was.
You know what my one of the most enjoyable parts of the whole experience was, though, for me?
Okay.
It was not seeing Tales of Despero on first look and a trailer. I can promise you that. It was...
Pizza?
No, the Bolt trailer.
I did like the Bolt trailer.
That was quite appealing.
Was it different from the other ones?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rhino does a little like high school. They say the green thing comes up and the little Disney coming soon from Walt Disney Pictures, and then you see Rhino in a little movie theater seat, and he says, "Oh, another trailer! I want to see High School Musical." And then he starts like doing all the songs from High School Musical, and then they said it would be awesome if I was in the movie. And then his little hamster friend goes, "What? Timmy's caught in a well?" Oh, I'm in a movie. And then they show a trailer for... Yeah. I mean, it was just cute. It wasn't like...
Right. No.
But because Rhino, I think, is really going to be the key to that movie. I know. Bolt.
No, which one is Rhino?
The hamster.
Okay.
But
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was quite good, actually. It's fun. The songs are fun, except for The Boys Are Back. That was just stupid, especially when they had their little people version. That was kind of bad.
Finally get a McCloud!
I like the big Sharpay. She always gets the best song. I like her song. It was cool. I like that it was kept nice and squeaky clean. There wasn't a whole lot of smoochy-smoochy going on.
The number one live-action G-rated movie opening.
It beat 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There aren't a whole lot of live-action G-rated movies, are there?
No. I don't know. It's like, once you have a person, you have to do a crotch shot.
So quickly, rank them.
1, 3, 2. 1, 3, 2. 3, 1, 2. 7, 8, 9. I get it. Any of you guys get a chance to see High School Musical Senior Year, High School Musical 3 Senior Year right here, right now at either Disney's California Adventure Park or Disney's Hollywood Studios?
I've seen a few moments of it as it passed by.
It's kind of like hard to avoid, isn't it?
It lasts 3 hours.
It was funny because it was going up the parade route at the studios to the hat area where it performs when we were walking into either like Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror. And then as we were walking out of those attractions after having gone on both, so, you know, about a half hour, 45 minutes, I don't know how long it took, it was parading out. And, I mean, it was a different show that it had come and gone since, but it just seemed like, wow, that show must have gone on forever.
Epically long High School Musical extravaganza.
Have you actually seen it, Fanboy?
I did. It was, you know what I miss is in the High School Musical 1 show and 2 show, they teach everyone how to do the "we're all in this together," you know, stance, yeah. wildcat claw, punch right, punch left, or is it punch left, punch right, who cares? But they don't do that. There's not as much audience participation, which is kind of important in a High School Musical show because the parents don't care, so you kind of have to get the kids involved so the parents care.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear that they moved that way. Speaking of participation, they're getting ready to re-release High School Musical 3 sing-along
version. I'm shocked. I can't believe it.
What, 125 theaters or so nationwide. So go to the website, Disney.com, and find out if it's playing near you.
And including Downtown Disney. And so you can, if you need an excuse to get a pizza, there you go.
Does that count as a separate release in the box office?
No.
Are you going to see it again?
Probably not. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Do they add new bloopers this time?
Mike's new car is now attached to it for some reason. Galago's Quest. That's why they bumped it from Bolt.
Oh, speaking of Mike's new car, did you watch the Cars animated short that they had?
I did, the Cars Tunes. That's what I forgot to tell you.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. It was. I only saw a little bit of it. I still have it on the TiVo in the other room.
It's only a little bit, isn't it?
I know, but we were like getting ready to go somewhere, so I watched like the opening of it and watched like, you know, 2 minutes of the 5 minutes and had to go. And I have it on too, but it looked like fun. So I can't wait to see more of it.
You know what's nice about it is they're very, you know how like classic cartoons are all the same and they just the middle parts are different.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like Mater and Lightning are talking. Mater tells a story and it's a whole tall tale. And then at the end, Lightning McQueen, and then somewhere in the middle, Lightning McQueen says, "That didn't happen," and Mater says, "You don't remember, you were there," and then they show the rest of the story, and Mater and Lightning's involved, and then you go back, and you kind of think it's, you know, just a tall tale, and then there's something that indicates
that
like
it
might not have been. It's very cute.
It's very classic.
Yeah. It's very much a cartoon as opposed to an animated feature or featurette. It's not Oscar. They should put it in front of a movie so it's Oscar eligible.
Like Baby Herman.
Disney Channel also pulled that Hannah Montana diabetes episode.
They didn't play it?
No, they didn't play
what
it.
What happened?
Apparently, in the video on demand previews that were available, parents there had a negative response to the episode. And it's funny because there's no further explanation than that, other than, in essence, we've received some negative feedback, and so we've decided to pull the episode, reevaluate it before moving forward. But it doesn't really tell you what the complaint was.
I hear it was too saccharine.
Stop.
That's just really interesting that they would actually put it out there for the on-demand and then pull it. I mean, so it was out there. Plenty of people saw it and then pull it before it actually aired. That's just a really strange decision.
So I was very curious. So like I say, I haven't like, you know, dug around to find out exactly what the complaints were. But, you know, just in the articles I saw, there was no specific reason mentioned. But that's it. And it was funny because people don't read, obviously, very thoroughly because a lot of the complaints that people had in the response to the article were like, "Oh, I can't believe Disney would pull an episode about such an important topic," or whatever. And I'm like, I didn't get the impression from the way it was written that Disney was deciding not to do an episode on diabetes. They just weren't happy with the, you know, way people were responding to their – they wanted to make sure they handled it appropriately. So, but yet I
know who should, could have been a consultant.
Yeah, but yeah, no. Well, the funny thing was I had set it to tape that weekend. They still had the little before the Hannah Montana clip this week was a little moment with the Jonas Boy talking about, you know, having diabetes, and then it went into this week's episode of Hannah Montana,
which was
a not about
special Halloween.
It was a new
sugar.
No, it was a new episode, and it was about Hannah. It was about Miley trying to deal with the fact that her best friend and her brother are crush on each other.
What? Wait,
and
huh?
How awkward that is.
Is that legal?
Oh, because I thought Oliver was her best friend. I forgot about Lily.
Yeah.
Which made it.
That was
a very special episode.
Yeah, it was Lily was crushing
so
on Jackson.
It's amazing that would have, you know, such better reviews over the diabetes episode, really.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was an episode about Lily crushing on Jackson and Miley trying to, you know, deal with that.
They resolved that, right? They're not together.
I don't want to tell you about the episode. You need to watch
spoiler
it yourself.
Alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
You have to watch it yourself. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not going to share.
Good thing I got an iPhone.
Don't even go there. So there was another movie that came out while we were away, and that would be, what's the official
jingle,
name?
Jingle, jingle,
Tinkerbell?
Jingle, 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 jingle.
I believe it's just called Tinkerbell.
Yes.
Tinkerbell, yeah.
Disney Fairies presents a Tinkerbell film powered by Pixie Dust.
Would it be Disney Consumer Products presents?
Yeah, seriously. A Disney presentation of consumer products concept.
Yeah.
So we had the opportunity to see it, right, Captain?
And you three did.
Yeah.
What do you do all week?
Plunders. Pillages and
plunders. I was at the theme park, so I didn't have time to watch.
Oh, so you
movies.
Saw Pixie Hollow.
Pixie Hollow.
Dude, I was going to see Pixie Hollow, but the first time I went, it wasn't yet open, even though the Orlando Sentinel told me it would be.
They should know.
And then the second time I was thinking about going, I asked a friend who works at the Magic Kingdom and was like, hey, you know, any word on Pixie Hollow? And it was, yeah, it's running about a 90-minute wait. And I'm like,
that was short.
I really don't want to I'm not that patient.
When I went over there, I had a 3-hour wait.
They should show the movie in the line.
I know.
They do, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, they do now?
Dude.
A 3-hour wait?
A 3-hour wait.
To meet Tinkerbell?
Well, here's the deal. They decided that it would be cool if she plays a game with you. So that takes a little time.
Okay. A 50-person wait.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me all these people were hanging from the wire from the castle waiting to meet Tinkerbell?
Wow.
That's the game. I saw some video of Disneyland's version. It's cool, though. They're very cute.
Yeah.
The little Tinker Fairy people and the way they do their character and all that.
Interaction.
I imagine Daddy has a new favorite part of the park. The snowflakes are out, Tinkerberries are in.
Oh, yeah. And then the Tinkerbell shop still wasn't reopened fully when I went, so I'm looking forward to going and seeing what they've done, because half of the store has been completely remodeled, I guess. Before it was very Peter Pan. It was a Tinkerbell store, but it was very Peter Pan. Apparently now it's going to have a very heavy Disney fairies overlay. But at an event we had gone to, they said that they gave us the impression that the fairies were coming to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. When I stopped by Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, they weren't aware of this. So I'm not sure if plans changed or if it just hasn't rolled out yet. So, but you can buy the costumes now at the theme parks, the Pixie. I keep saying that, the Disney fairy costumes.
You can buy those now? Too bad.
Mm-hmm.
They should have started offering those a week ago.
So, yeah.
Oh,
no, they were offered before Halloween. They were.
How was the film?
I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I think it's very fascinating the way that they've taken Disney's most kind of sexualized character out of all the characters that they offer.
Pleakley?
And they take the one with the kind of the biggest sex appeal, as it were. And they've turned
only to you, fanboy.
And they've turned her into a definition of, you know, kind of inner beauty and accepting what you're learning what your talent is and yeah, I know.
Just because you're hot doesn't mean you can't have inner beauty too.
But I know, but it's just interesting.
For example,
that
yourself.
But
oh, ew, ew.
Okay. But the thing is usually they
it's usually
good they
the
reserve,
diabetes episode.
Usually they reserve such messages typically for, you know, ugly duckling type episodes. Right. And so it's just interesting to see them.
I applaud.
For example.
So yeah.
applaud Disney for not going down the easy route.
But my disappointment in the film comes in the fact that I was very
much...
Did it
kill anybody?
No.
Or attempt to kill anybody?
No, because I'm very glad that that didn't happen. Although I'm trying to figure out how she kind of goes from what we see in the film to somebody who would kill
it's
somebody.
It's like episode 3 of Star Wars.
Yeah, it is.
The last Tinkerbell movie is going to be very dark.
No!
But my disappointment was that I was really looking forward to meeting Terrence the Sparrow Man.
We met him, didn't we?
Well, for like 3 lines.
He'll be back.
I was hoping for
He's
more.
He's voiced by Jesse McCartney.
I was hoping for more.
The good news is there will be more. 3 more, if I'm not mistaken.
The trailer for the next one looked like fun. It's more adventure. It's more like Tinkerbell sets out and discovers something.
Herself.
No, it didn't seem like that. It seemed...
Adventure.
Yeah.
And she I like
learns
an
to
adventure
rely on
that
her
begins
friends
with pirates.
I like the ending very much. The very, very ending was very cute.
With BB Mac?
Oh,
okay, just
I,
before that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I thought the way the whole storyline wrapped up was very sweet.
Guess what I did that was fairy related? We'll just ignore that question and moving on. I went to pixiehollow.com and my fairy played in the Pixie World and I went to Tinkerbell's arrival party.
Oh,
woo woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually, how do I say this without totally demasculating myself? I know.
No, you already have.
It's far
go,
too late.
Just go.
Far too late.
I really enjoy Pixie Hollow. The games are fun. They're like puzzle games, and I like puzzle games. And you can get points. And it's out of all the virtual worlds there's out there, I think Pixie Hollow might be my favorite.
I enjoy Pixie Hollow, but I bet you are really. See, here's how you could have saved yourself from not appearing emasculated.
I couldn't make a sparrow man.
I'm really looking forward to the rolling out of Cars Land.
Yeah, well,
world
did
online.
You, did you create your car yet?
No, I haven't.
I created my car and played the raceway.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not that good, so mm-hmm. I have lots of time to practice.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to that. It's kind of neat to have all these different, you know, I have my penguin, I have my pirate, I have my pixie, and I have my car.
Very cool. I just have a fairy. I haven't created a car yet. I used to have a little person in Virtual Magic Kingdom that was blue.
I'm an adult, so.
Yes, you are an adult.
Very quickly, if you had to give an Academy Award to one or the other, which was the better film, High School Musical 3 or Tinkerbell?
High School Musical 3.
I'd say Tinkerbell.
High School Musical 3.
And,
and SeaWorld.
And I wasn't there. And to myself, thank you.
Moving right along.
Hey, Winged Nike wrote us.
It's Winged.
Yeah,
Winged Nike.
Winged has an interesting update on a topic we discussed a couple weeks ago.
Winged Nike actually attended the Disney Convention Center Anime Expo and recalls waiting outside the exhibit hall for 2 hours, wondering why there was such a long delay. Later heard that the original offender, referring to the story I'm guessing that we were talking about a few weeks ago, pointed fingers at other dealers, and so they did a massive sweep of the materials available at the expo. So a little insider info on the anime debacle. Sorry. And then Captain John, Wing Nike, wants you to know that green tea is fine. And he agrees. Keep it out of my desserts.
Amen to that, brother.
So
or sister.
By the way, Wing at Nike is a sister.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she's a female.
Yeah.
She might be a sister. She might have brothers. She may have cousins. I have no idea. Take care, Ted Knapp. I guess take care is a sign off. Ted Knapp of Fairport, New York, right? Hey, guys.
Wait.
See, at the bottom it says, take care, Ted Knapp. I don't think take care is a part of his name.
No, you...
Idiot. So brilliant.
Ted Knapp of Fairport, New York. Hi, guys. Great show. Thank you. And our next email. in podcast number 98, you made a reference about a statue of a football player statue with incorrect footwear. You recall that, fanboy? I believe you made that reference when we were talking about...
No, it's me.
I believe Rebecca made that reference, fanboy, when we were talking about the not-Disney movie about the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he says, this actually happened at Syracuse University in New York. The statue was for Ernie Davis, who was the subject of the movie The Express. He was the first black football player to win the Heisman Trophy. This happened in the late 50s, early 60s. To honor Ernie Davis, SU Syracuse unveiled a statue at their home opener football game. However, they did not realize that the sculptor did it with him wearing Nike football cleats. Nike did not make football cleats until the late 70s or early 80s. There you go. Ernie Davis was from my hometown of Elmira, New York, which is also where Mark Twain is buried. And he puts Walt Disney World tie-in. So that's now
Mark Twain is what?
Is interned.
Okay. Interned or interred?
Shut up. Foliage. He's interned in foliage.
Oh, that's great.
All right. How about that other one, Rebecca?
Massachusetts writes, happy 100th, guys. I have listened to and enjoyed them all. I downloaded to my iPod and listened to segments during my 40-minute commute to work. The longer they are, the more days it takes me to listen to one. Yay. Doobie mentioned during the 100th podcast that it is his greatest expense and doesn't make a profit. I disagree. There's an old business saying, people do business with people they know, like, and trust. And since listening to you and getting to know you all through the podcast, I've made several purchases from your Laughing Place store and visit your website almost every day looking for the most reliable, trusted, and enjoyable coverage of anything Disney.
And someday I hope to find it.
Oh, he goes on to say, your podcasts help build a personal connection to your audience and visitors that you cannot put a price tag on. Keep up the great work and the podcast. Thanks.
Based on that, I think I will begin deducting our podcast expenses as an investment in laughingplace.com. Thank you so much, Massachusetts.
Well, thank you. That's nice.
What's the depreciation cycle on all this equipment?
I don't even want to think about it. Let's see. A little bit ago, we had Eric who emailed us to...
find out favorite attractions.
Yeah,
right?
Favorite attractions around the Disney theme parks. So we did Disneyland and DCA. And what he asked us to do was break it up into the various lands or areas, give our favorite in each, and then pick an ultimate favorite. So
ultimate favorite.
We're gonna do one today from the park we affectionately call the Experiment. Does anyone call it that?
I do.
The three of us.
So we're gonna.
I remember when it used to be called the Experiment 95.
An experiment center. So we're going to break it up into Future World West, Future World East. For fun, we'll put Spaceship Earth in Future World East. Future World West, Future World East, World Showcase, and Entertainment, a.k.a. Illuminations. Because you got to include it, but, you know, there's no real competition there. There was at one time. Anyway, let's start with you, Captain. What is your favorite Future World East / Spaceship Earth attraction?
I'm trying to think on what's there.
That's
currently.
Mission Space.
Mission Space.
And, Test Track and Energy.
Right.
And Spaceship Earth.
And
Spaceship
Interventions
Earth. And Interventions East. I think I would have to go with Spaceship Earth before they changed it. So Test Track currently.
Makes sense to me. In fact, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Me too. Same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was just going to go Spaceship Earth. With a close second being the Mission Space post show.
Oh, dude, yeah.
The game thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mission Space Race.
Not Alpha and Omega. Triton and Orion?
Orion. Alpha and Omega.
Nothing like it. That was so much fun.
Well, speaking of which, they finally did change the pre-show video for the green side of Mission Space, so you don't worry about how you're going to die.
Now they know.
Because before, they just showed what was there before. It's like, wait, did I enter the right one? Are we going to be spinning around?
I remember that fear when I went on it.
I did both on the same day, though. I did orange and green. And,
Living on the edge.
Oh, yeah.
Which one was more fun?
The orange side.
Okay.
The green actually made me feel stranger after getting off. It was very weird.
Were you green?
No, I just felt like very weird.
You didn't look to the side on the green side, did you?
I looked to the side on the green
side. Well, there's your problem. All right, Rebecca, Future World West, that would be Soarin', Living Seas, Imagination. Yeah.
Living with the Land Boat Ride, the Circle of Life.
Those are the pavilion. The Land, the Sea, and Imagination, and their related attractions.
Oh, wow. I'm going to have to go with Soarin', even though I never go on it here, because you can't do it unless you have a fast pass, and I never get to Epcot early enough to get a fast pass, and I'm unwilling to wait 75 minutes in a line that doesn't move.
Yet you know it's a good ride.
Yet I know it's a good ride, and it's my favorite. If there was no line, I would pick that over other things.
Since Soarin' is originally a DCA attraction, and I know you love it from there, if I had to press you to pick one that's an Epcot attraction, what would you choose?
Oh, Nemo.
Nemo swimming out the sea!
Nemo.
You are really...
He's out there today. Yeah.
I got my flu shots because I'm messing my brain.
Speaking of which, Jeff, I didn't print out his email.
Yeah?
Because it was a little, you know, he wrote it to us. But he was the guy last week where we said, what drugs are you on? He wrote us to let us know he's not on drugs, but he has listened to all 100 podcasts, and that should explain everything.
Oh, there you go. We really can't. It's our fault.
All right, so your turn, Captain. Future World West.
Living with the Land.
The boat ride?
The boat ride.
Oh, my. The boat ride is so much fun.
It's a wonderful journey.
Shut up. Jackfruit. It's all about the jackfruit.
It's all about the jackfruit.
Why does that have that big open area? That just bugs me to no end.
The big
when you
open
get to
area?
The part where there's the screens just before you enter the
It really bugs
greenhouse,
him that between the boat there's, and the screens.
It's like 50 feet away where it looks like there should be dancing girls or something on this big stage. It's weird.
We'll see. How would you feel if those big screens were right next to you and you couldn't see anything?
Make them littler screens.
It was so... Every time we go on it, he's like...
It really disturbs me.
Why is there so much space?
And there's nothing on it. The only thing on there are the things hiding the speakers. It's just a big empty stage.
So they need to have dancers out there, is what you're saying?
Something, some corn growing, anything. Anyway,
but what about the doors?
Oh, man, this last time we went on it, the row behind us, it was so cute. It was two couples, and they were seniors who obviously stopped.
No,
they were not. They were very pleasant.
I liked them. I like old people.
Yeah, they were very pleasant, but they obviously come to the theme parks a lot because the dialogue that they were having. But when they got on the ride, as we passed that first scene, they were like, "Oh, is this the one with the?" They were confusing it with Jungle Cruise. So they were like, "Is this the one with like the elephants?" We were having fun listening as they finally sifted out what ride they were on. That's awesome.
And for the record, does nobody know what a prairie dog is anymore?
Oh, that's right. They were like, "Oh, look at the groundhog." Right?
Oh, they said that too, because just every time I'm on it, some kid or somebody is like, "Hey, look at the chipmunks." It's like,
"Oh, that's what it, yeah, it was like, oh,
prairie
little,
dogs.
Little groundhog, little
Did
groundhog."
You not see Indiana Jones 4?
Can't say that I was that fortunate. Fanboy.
I'm going to go with Soren.
And if I had to press you,
The Seas of Nemo and Friends.
What about you?
Did you go?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This one's a hard one. It's easy to pick Soarin', but I really want to pick an Epcot attraction, but I don't really like any of the others enough to say, wow, that's the best attraction in Future World West.
Even
Turtle
the,
Talk with Crush.
What about the Image Works, or whatever they call that area at a Imagination?
I discovered something. You know, most people
behind the scenes tour.
I like that, actually. Most people go up to Image Works and they play it with their hands, you know. I did some experimenting. First, I played it with my head. That was fun. And then I turned around and played it with my booty. I said, Rebecca, look at me.
I can play it with my booty. He yells at me from across the room. I'm thinking, oh, I don't have to wait for children to be
getting
here.
Ready to train our little boy.
Dude, look at me.
You know, while you're thinking about that, I should just say my Spaceship Earth story is that one last time I was going through the queue of Spaceship Earth, there was this group of kids. They're all chanting something. It's like, what are they saying? It's like, I can't understand. Then I realize they're saying, "All hail the ball," over and over again while they're in line.
Why?
I really have no idea. It was so strange. It was
may have gotten
all hail the ball. It was like seven kids.
As they were marching into Spaceship Earth.
All hail the ball.
Were they wearing fluorescent orange shirts and carrying a big flag?
It's too funny.
So okay. I gave you some time to think about it.
Taking Soren out of the equation, I will pick an attraction I never actually experienced, but it's pretty cool nonetheless, and that would be the aquariums of the Living Seas.
Ooh. You're so interesting.
But Future World West is really a pretty sad. No, it's not sad. It's very mediocre. It's a lot of mediocre rides. Well, nothing bad.
Journey into your imagination.
I like it. I truly do.
Oh, then you're better than me.
Yeah. All right. World Showcase, taken en masse.
There's nothing there.
Come on. There's Norway.
It would have to be American Adventure.
Yeah. I'm trying to steer it away from the easy one, but there's France. There's Mexico.
There's KidCon.
Bad boy?
I'll go with... Well, is it just all year, or are we considering Pearville? Because I do enjoy my Pearville during Food and Wine.
That's still America.
Yeah, that's World Showcase.
I have to say, though, I do love to hate Maelstrom. That's like the Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, I know. I'm not a big fan of Maelstrom. My favorite World Showcase attraction is the Norway film.
are you going with American Adventure?
Wait, people actually sat down last time I walked through there.
Did you warn them?
We were like, everybody else was walking, and like, these two people just sat down. It's like, I've never seen that. Not even two people.
As Disney World regulars, I feel we have an obligation To warn people. Not just to walk through it, but to look out for our fellow human beings.
No, you don't
have to stay for the movie.
You never do.
No, of course not.
In fact, I can't even remember walking through that movie.
I've walked through, but I also, last time we watched it.
Well, yeah. Before they didn't let you walk through, remember? Before it was a prison.
They can't not let you walk through.
No,
I'm serious.
We're
in America, actually at the point we're in Norway, aren't we?
No, I'm serious. Before they actually didn't, it was just part of the attraction. They didn't let you, like, pass it.
I heard
it. They didn't keep the doors, I mean, they had doors there, but they kept them closed.
Yeah. That's about how
I kind of persuade you to sit down.
I kind of felt that way when we got onto the Universe of Energy. This is a 37-minute ride. You may not exit the vehicle.
If
you exit the vehicle, we must evacuate the entire building. Please do not leave the vehicle. Remember, if you leave, we will exit the entire building.
Don't they say 47 minutes and then we lost 10.
They say 37
much.
And ended up being 27.
Yeah,
we lost 10 minutes. They owe us 10 minutes of something.
By the way, that's a bad ride.
It's not a bad ride. It was good.
That is the worst ride in all of Disney World.
Although I will say that our friends who are visiting from Canada that we're doing all this traveling with, you and the mom were asleep within seconds of those lights going out.
I'm an Ellen DeGeneres fan. I'm a Jeopardy fan.
Yeah, so
I like Jamie Lee Curtis.
Do you
Curtis.
Like Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Yeah, I can give or take him.
Dinosaurs?
I like Richardson. I like
Albert Einstein.
His name?
Michael Richards.
Thank you. I like E=mc², even though he doesn't have a big part. That's just a bad ride. So,
enjoy the Beverly Hillbillies.
Actually, no.
Oh, there's your problem.
Rebecca, World Showcase. See, there's Italy and it's.
No, actually, while I do like American Adventure and just the American Pavilion in general, I really love the pretzels over at Germany, so I'm kind of torn.
Between American Adventure and a pretzel?
It's a really good pretzel.
Wow. This is one incredible park. I can see why the experiment's doing so well.
It's a really good pretzel.
What about the... can't forget the tin toy exhibit over in Japan.
Oh, yeah. And Morocco's... Dude, is that the smallest attraction ever? I never been in
the
there.
Let's
check out the Little Morocco Museum. And then I had to squeeze it.
Yeah. Well, really, though, how many people actually know Morocco has more than just the little fountain area that you can actually walk
It has
back
a fountain at? Area?
Exactly.
All I know is Morocco.
Morocco.
Future World. What do I like in Future World?
No, World Showcase.
World Showcase.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Off kilter.
World Showcase.
No, that's entertainment.
I have to admit, I'm not a
put that in the entertainment category.
The Martin fan. Short extravaganza.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget Canada.
Yeah.
Looney. Toonie.
That's
Canadian
all
Idol. Thank you. If you see it, you'll understand.
I've seen it. I don't understand.
Oh, apparently you weren't paying attention.
I get the last one. The Looney and Toonie is just general Canadian-ness.
No, they always ask you, before we open the doors, does anyone know what a Canadian penny is?
Yeah.
It's a Looney. How about a two? It's a Toonie. Oh, they ask you about the maple leaf, too. Every time. Hasn't changed. Looney, Toonie, maple leaf.
American Adventure. I mean, please. Come on. I'm, you know, whatever.
Prior to the...
Although, you know what? El Rio del Tiempo.
That's not there anymore.
I know, but the
original version?
For your post?
I like it with the Caballeros.
So a Grand Fiesta, the Grand Fiesta Tour featuring...
Yeah, I like the little boat ride with the Mexican flavor and the...
My favorite pavilion, I would say, is Mexico, just as a pavilion.
Yeah, I like
just being
in
the pavilion.
All right, that's coming. Don't answer. Okay. Let me answer this first. World Showcase. I may have picked the Canada movie prior to the Martin Shortification, but definitely AA now. So now pavilion as a whole, all the 11 plus the outpost.
Plus the outpost.
Are we what counting the McFlurry stand?
No, we're not counting those two shops either.
What about the really fancy turkey leg?
No, we're not counting. Although that is a really cool. That's like the best ODB or whatever it is.
Whatever it is ever. I'd say Mexico is my favorite just pavilion.
I know my least favorite is. Italy.
Why so?
There's nothing there. A lot of badly smelling stores.
And they ruined the only good restaurant.
Yeah. My favorite.
The Italy store had good chocolate, though. The store itself was not very good.
My favorite is probably Canada.
Canada?
Yeah, Canada's a very good one.
I really like window shopping in Japan.
Oh, you do like Japan.
I love to wander through the stores of Japan and desire to spend lots of money.
On Pocky. A clock that plays songs.
I really do want one of those. How sad is that? I've looked at those for years. I still haven't bought one.
Pocky. While China has some merchandise I really appreciate, I think I've never really thought about this before. I'm going to go with the UK because I like how it has like a back area. And I like the shops there. That
you like the hedge maze.
You're just like, you can understand what they're saying.
I forgot to take cast members into account, too. You know what? I'm going to go with...
Ooh, now he's got to think more.
I like Norway because it smells really good. But
it's some good cookies.
And they have a statue of Greta Weiss. You know what? You know what's funny?
I like
when
the
marathon goes through World Showcase, it goes around so that in the way that you don't see Greta Weiss. And there's a statue there. She's a world championship marathon runner, one of those, probably the most well-known of all time.
But
you don't see her.
Because you're running Germany, China, Italy. Germany, China,
that's
Norway. Where's
the statue at?
It's by
right
the exit
the
of the
church.
Bakery.
Yeah, right next to the church.
Yeah.
Directly across from the Viking ship used to be.
I got her confused with the Viking statue.
No. The Viking statue's on the other side of the building.
Gotcha. Don't get her confused with the troll line.
I'll stick with the UK.
Okay.
All right, and then entertainment. Illuminations plus all the fabulous entertainment of Epcot. Illuminations.
They have some new guys out right now because of Food and Wine. Instead of banging on landscaping stuff, they're banging on like pots and pans.
Did you say landscaping stuff? That's funny because you probably saw them during Flower and Garden as opposed to the summer where they just bang on trash cans.
Oh, that's right, yeah. No, you're right.
Or sounds like summer where they bang on ancient rock stars.
Yeah, I hear next to you, they're actually next to they're gonna perform. It sounds like summer because they're really just a trash can trio cover band.
ding 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 ding, we have a winner.
That's scary.
Back to work.
Anybody have an answer other than eliminations?
No eliminations.
Although
the elimination of Earth.
The elimination of Earth.
A special what is it? Honorable mention for the little Chinese girls.
The acrobats?
When they get over from Cirque du Soleil, it's nice to see them here, too.
You're so
all right, so the number one Epcot attraction, which logically should be one of the ones you named already, but for some reason doesn't always end up that way, Captain John.
I would say American Adventure.
Captain Fan.
Captain? Wait.
You can't give
the title away, man.
My bad. I bow to the captain.
Admiral Fanboy. I would like to say Spaceship Earth.
First Mate Boy.
Spaceship Earth.
A fair attraction at one time. Rebecca.
I have to say Illuminations.
Ooh. Good choice.
We're going to go see that tonight, in fact.
I'm going to go with the most underrated attraction of all of Disney World.
All of Disney World.
One of the most well-executed.
Oh, Club Cool. I forgot about that. Oh, man.
Beverly. Yes.
Gotta rethink everything now.
Stormstruck.
When it works, it is perfectly executed.
Stormstruck has an issue, by the way. They swap the display.
Yeah.
The typo.
Waste management exhibit.
Test Track.
Really?
That's what
you're going to pick as the best attraction in
Epcot. It is a perfect Epcot attraction. It's fun
and it's experimental.
And thrilling, yet it's also quite educational, and it is experimental in that it barely works.
Yeah.
And you just love the post show.
With all the cars?
Yeah. Hey, look, a new Chevy.
I like the post show. It's got a cool post show. It's got photo pass picture.
Right now, their photo pass is set up different than any other attraction on property right now, as far as I understand it. It's
probably in the world.
But are able to scan your own photo pass card when you see your image on the little monitor, and then it's just added to your collection. And you can't even take your photo pass card to like the photo area of Rock and Roller Coaster and add it to your photo pass. So that's the only one where it can just become part of your PhotoPass collection.
What I normally do is I grab a PhotoPass photographer to have him wait for me when I get off the ride and then take a picture of the monitor and then slide my card.
It was fun to watch people try and take pictures of the monitor.
Why would you do that?
I can have PhotoPass. I can have my on-ride picture on other rides.
Other than test track.
Other rides.
I'm gonna let you in on the little secret which I was able to tell Doobie. It's not the manatee story. To make your experience even more fun on Test Track, when you do the little anti-lock brake tests, keep in mind right after you do all that, they show you on video of what you were just doing. So just act ridiculously crazy, and it makes it really funny when you show up to the little monitor and you see yourself all going crazy.
That was fun.
That's fun.
I didn't know that.
Oh, that is fun.
Because I see myself there.
That's a great idea.
I figure it's not for my last trip here.
I wasn't able to ride for obvious reasons, and so I got to watch the video screen. I went to the exit and just watched the pictures of people rolling by so that way I could see my family when they came through, because I waited with them in the queue and then just exited when they got on board, so I just watched a little bit. But what ended up happening was my family got stuck because it started to pour outside.
Test track went down.
And so they had to shut down the attraction for a little bit. But it was funny because
Florida. Let's put a ride outside.
When you looked at the monitors, there were some cars going by on the monitor screens where they're in their photo image. They have, like, they're holding their merchandise bags over their heads. So I'm guessing either they got caught in the rain or they knew the rain was coming.
That looks like a ride that'd be fun to do in the rain.
I think it'd be painful. Remember screaming in the rain was not fun.
I've done Expedition Everest in the rain, and that's painful.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
A little pain never hurt
anyone. Because what's great is that you go, like, right after you drop outside, you go back in a little tunnel, and you're like, ah. And you go back out, it's like, ah.
You know, one of the other cool things about Test Track is when you get off the ride and you get to see the car of the future.
You know,
it must be almost here.
I said to Doobie, this car, the one that you could take the whole, like, top part off. It's
right.
Just, you know, the car's just the base.
Yeah.
And it's been there since the ride opened, I think.
Right,
it's just always going to be the future car.
You can pre-order it now. It's right around the corner.
The day that it actually becomes.
It's fun, though, to watch people jump in those cars and take pictures.
I like to get in the cars,
actually. It's fun.
I really do.
They seem to be, like, especially the Hummer. People are like, ooh, look at me.
I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here's my cigar. Ooh, yeah. My state's in debt. Ah, look at me.
Yeah, it's fun. Although some little kids had apparently gotten in one of the cars and lost something, and so they couldn't remember which car they had been in, and so they were going from car to car trying to find something.
Uh-oh.
So that was kind of sad.
Ah, they should have had Hertz Never Lost. Rebecca.
Yes.
What did our good buddy Brent have to say this week?
Hey there, good buddy. 10-4.
Well, he really enjoyed High School Musical 3.
Shocking.
He thought the story was well thought out, and even with Troy's, quote, scream scene, I wasn't distracted enough to even hate that.
Okay, that was a bad scene.
Wait, is it right up there with Darth Vader?
No!
Yes. The ending was perfect for the series, so I hope they don't screw it up by trying to use new cast members to do a fourth. He thinks that would be a mistake and dishonor. I love this. And dishonor how great the original cast.
I disagree. I would hate to see the original cast continue on because it
right.
ended beautifully.
You don't want, like, High School Musical, the college year.
Yeah. they really ended it beautifully.
Yeah,
it was,
I thought so, too.
And then they walk out the main five.
And all teary-eyed.
Yeah,
it was
beautiful.
Nice.
But to continue on with the new cast, you
were in tears.
No,
Martin.
I was not in tears.
No.
I believe I had to go to the bathroom, so the tears were for a different reason. But it was beautiful.
What color were the tears?
So they also have a new video game, High School Musical Sing It.
La, 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 la.
So you can enjoy singing along with your Disney Channel hits.
Bad.
And he gives it a 4 out of 5.
Actually, we go out of 4 here. So
and,
so what does that make it? What's the conversion there? Is that 3 or just
4
like...
times 4 over 5?
16
and then he has another question, and that is for the LPP crew. Since Disney music is a real passion, he wants to know your top 3 or 4 favorite Disney songs. Anything Disney classic, Song from a Park, Disney Channel, and if you have a specific version of the song that you prefer.
I got 3 right off the top of my head. You guys can think. I'm ready to go.
Okay.
Candle on the Water.
Oh, dear.
Canada Song, the one from the original attraction, and I'll Try.
Dude, wow. Could those be more
I
sappy?
I think I specifically deleted those from my iPod.
Dude, I feel like, I think we need to have like an insulin warning on this this moment.
We were going to, but then we decided not to air it.
Wow. Oh, this is hard. Because most of the songs that you hear on Laughing Place Radio, which plays Disney music 24/7, and if you haven't listened to it, please enjoy Laughing Place Radio.
Now back to your regular standard.
It's actually music we own, because in order to legally play such stuff, we have to have owned a copy. So we own it ourselves, and a lot of it's the music that I've purchased over the years, because I love Disney music. But I'm trying to think of my favorite songs. I know one of them would have to be...
I'll Try.
The show would have to be the Illumination score.
Yeah.
I really love the elimination score, but it's kind of hard because I'm like, I want to pick songs I like know I sing along to because it just seems, otherwise it's hard. Yeah, because it wins. that's
Tapestry, which I do sing along to, and that's an incredible piece of music.
It is. Yeah. So it's hard not to pick those. So I'm gonna go with songs that are, I'm going to like edit this question to be like, not score. So Disney songs with lyrics.
Okay.
And so in that case, I have to pick, that would be very hard. I like Splash Dance. I know.
Happy birthday.
I don't even know how it goes.
Happy birthday.
That's too bad for you.
I got it on my iPod.
How?
Oh, really? Yeah, I do.
Dude.
One moment.
All right, here we go. We're going to have a
splash.
RIAA violation right here.
But only play 15 seconds.
Splash, everybody get wet.
That's how it goes.
Yeah.
Especially if you're at Universal Studios Islands of Adventure.
Do you have Candle on the Water on there?
We don't care.
No.
From Helen...
Ready.
Helen Ready. Jonathan Brooke.
Disney character voices finest.
This would be one of your three favorite Disney songs.
I really like this song. Can I help it if you don't?
I liked it, but it's no I'll try.
Like a sub, ride like a whale, wrap my flippers like a big fish tail. It's fun.
Splash Dance is also home to one of my favorite songs.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
I wonder which one that would be.
Let me see. Pull it up here.
Still try to figure out how to work this thing.
Stupid. Why do people buy these things?
What is this? Digital Duck?
Nope.
No. Oh, but that's on Splash Dance.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
You have Digital Duck?
I do.
Because if I had to pick a character voice song, that would be mine.
Okay. Digital Duck.
That's me.
Okay, gosh golly Goofy, the phony king of England, Let's Get Together, Jesse the Yodeling Cowgirl, Gummy Bears, same, Digital Duck. It's right above Disco Mickey Mouse.
Oh, that's another fun song.
Which album is this from?
Splash Dance. Hey everybody, I'm not home. Please leave your bushes at the sound of the turn.
Looking at our agenda for today, I didn't see Fanboy's iPod on there. So we got to get to the chorus. That's me. What's the one about baking?
Baking.
Oh, that's from
with Minnie Mouse when she's talking about.
Oh, that's the one about the bake sale.
Yeah.
That's from the silly classics. Make it then. Oh no, this is so bad. This is Watch Out for Goofy, right?
No, this is.
Watch out for Goofy.
No,
what is it?
No, it's not.
No, I'm just
singing
Watch Out for Goofy.
Oh, Macho Duck.
Disco, Mickey Mouse.
Oh, man. All right.
If you have Watch Out for Goofy on there, you gotta play that.
Hey, this is Gosh Golly Goofy.
Is this really done by Little Richard?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was during a valley in his career.
Is that really the word for it?
Yeah, that bake sale song, that's from the like silly classical songs or something like that.
I like that one. All right. Thank you so much for that question, Brett. That was a fun segment. We will have Fanboy's iPod Corner as a regular aspect of the show from here on out.
We'll have to think on this and get back with answers.
I do have
for
one of my
week, though.
You know, one song that I think this song is actually a great version done by Thurl Ravenscroft from the Many Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. But when Thurl Ravenscroft sings it, it's a little bit more exciting.
Very deep.
Now, gather around while I elucidate on what happens hides outside when it gets late. Along about midnight, the ghosts and banshees get together for their nightly jamborees. There's ghosts with horns and saucer eyes, and some with fangs about this size. Some short and fat, some tall and thin, and some don't even bother to wear their skin. I'm telling you, brother, it's a frightful sight to see what goes on in the night. For when the spooks have a midnight jamboree, they break it up with fiendish glee. Ghosts are bad, but the one that's cursed is the
headless horseman. He's the worst.
You know, that makes me miss doing shows on Laughing Place Radio.
We used to do that. That was fun.
But you thought the podcast took time. You try, doing that.
Yeah, but... it's hard because there's so many. I mean, what I need to do is I have to find out from other people, and then we can make sure that we highlight them on the podcast.
Yeah, this is worth doing a larger segment on. I'm the only one that has my top three songs at the top of my head of all time.
Dude, they're so sappy.
All times. Rebecca, what else does Mr. Brent have to say? Anything?
He talks about the fact that there was an accident at Lights Motors Action this past weekend.
I heard about that when I read his email.
Yeah, it was on Sunday, and there was very little about it. I read about it in the paper on Monday, and it was funny because we actually went to Lights Motors Action on Monday, and the paper talked about how, you know, shows will resume Monday, and I'm thinking, yep, I was there. But apparently on Sunday something happened to a motorcyclist, and according to the report that required an airlift. And
I was at Disney's Hollywood Studios that day, and I saw the airlift.
And
I didn't know what it was for, but
yeah,
I knew that the 4:30 show still went off without a hitch.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, according to the report in the paper, shows for the remainder of the day were canceled.
Nope.
So, interesting. Hard to imagine that happening in California.
Well, it was
there's no Lights Motors Action.
No, it was an interesting conversation I was having with our friends from Canada about how different things are in some cases between here and California. In fact, we've had friends from California when they come out here comment on it. We bumped into some I don't want to say high level executives, but I mean they're
just people who might know.
But they were commenting on ABC the ABC theater, the Superstar Theater, with that deep slope to enter the theater?
Yeah.
The hill. And they were like, oh, we could never do this in California.
By the way, as part of the American Idol experience, that will no longer be there.
It's so steep.
So, you know, and just very, and our friends from Canada, because they usually go to Disneyland, they were commenting on how amazing it is, the free walking that people have around here. Because in California, it's very strict about, oh, this is a crosswalk, and that's not a crosswalk when it comes to the tram areas. And here you have much more kind of free roaming about of guests in the traffic lanes.
Natural selection here. We believe in that.
Of the tram. So it's just, you know, it's interesting the way operations have to be different. I mean, and I know in part it has to do with legislation, I'm sure, but I also figure it also has to do with just the flow of people is very different here because you have number of guests is a very different number. He also comments on the changes coming to Hall of Presidents, which, according to the Orlando Sentinel, the attraction is going to close for numerous months, not returning until
numerous
summer.
Being some number between 1 and 4,000.
I believe it's 8.
Okay, that would be.
And so we'll have to see. Apparently, they want to work on lighting and stuff like that,
as well as
you know, adding in the newly elected president. So it'll be interesting to see how Hall of Presidents changes with the new president of change. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be changes in Hall of Presidents.
Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, that's from Brent.
Thanks, Brent. Look forward to hearing from you again in the future. And now, without further ado, Captain.
What was that?
That was my drum roll. It was more like a lip roll, but it was
more like, I don't know, like a walrus impersonation.
Give an egg roll because I'm kind of hungry.
Captain, challenge us. But first, last week.
Last week, I asked one of the Muppet performers in Monsters Incorporated. Anybody know the answer to this?
Frank Oz.
What was the name of the character he played?
Miss Piggy.
While that would be correct, that wasn't
Fonzie
exactly what
the
going
Bear.
For. This is Utah Josh. Frank Oz was the voice of Fungus, which was Randall's assistant. You know, the villainous assistant
okay.
who's kind of, you know, clumsy. Frank Oz was the voice.
Did he sound like Yoda?
He sounded like Frank Oz, who sounds kind of like Yoda.
You know, part of the reason I thought Frank Oz was a midget? His last name is Oz. The Munchkins?
Okay, it doesn't work like that.
I know, but that's what helped put it in my head.
That doesn't make you sound any better.
Wait. So is Frank Oz like the, you know, King of Oz?
Should have seen him when he met Joe Oompa Loompa.
He wasn't orange. I can't believe it.
Oh, dear me.
So what do you got for him this week, Captain?
All right, so this week's Captain's Challenge is, what famous actor is in the pre-show video prepping you for your mission to Mars and mission space? Not on mission to Mars.
The seagull, right?
No, not the seagull.
Captain Morrow? Captain Tom Morrow?
No, not Tom Morrow either.
Timekeeper?
No, not.
Okay.
Not
I give
Alpha
up.
And Omega.
Triton and Orion.
All right, and how will they answer this question?
They will answer this question by posting it in the podcast discussion board with Captain's Challenge and the date. That's what you do. You post a topic, and you answer as the best of your ability. Whoever's first gets a point. A whole point. I actually haven't been able to keep track of this, actually. So I will have to do some calculating soon in my near future.
I got an iPhone.
That'll help. Technical difficulties, you know. I wasn't able to play Brent's theme song today. It was.
What's your theme song?
It was Making Memories.
Long before the old Model T.
That's the exact one.
I don't have that.
All right, thank you, Captain. And now we got some stump here because it's been a while.
Some stump? Is that?
It's like scrum.
Is that the more polite word for something else?
Stump the crew.
Oh, okay, there we go.
STC.
Because, you know, when you just say we got some stump, it's like, what is that?
I got some guy from the street corner.
Now what you're thinking. This is from Jeff Peterson. He writes, this is on Disney Couples. So here is a different sort of Stump the Crew challenge. Instead of questions, it is a list of pairs of Disney movies which feature performers, either actors or voice talent, who are or were married at one time in real life. Although there is one instance of a long-term domestic partnership, they're all significant relationships. In other words, we're not talking about two people who are linked in a gossip column because they were once seen dining at Spago. The first three are single titles because both performers have credits in the same movie. Most of the actors appear in significant roles, but the answers get progressively more obscure, especially the last one.
I'm so confused.
It's pretty easy. I was, too, until I actually cheated on one, and then it made a lot of sense.
Okay.
So, for example, the first one is Mickey, Donald, and Goofy and the Three Musketeers. So there's voice talent in that movie who are actually...
Mane Allwine and Lucy Taylor.
You got it. So, how about... And I'm going to play moderator here and actually look at the answers, because I'm not good at this. The one and only genuine originally...
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
That would be the long-term domestic partnership.
Yes.
The Rescuers.
The Rescuers. Let's think. So Bob Newhart's in that.
Yes. Suzanne Plachette.
You might not get this one.
Ava Gabor's in that one.
Penny. And Mr. Snooks.
You're getting colder.
Are you able to give us the character?
Yes, the voice of Rufus and the voice of Ellie Mae.
Who? Really? No, I'm not sure on that one.
John McIntyre and Jeanette Nolan.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Were married from 1935 until the dude died in 1991.
Wow.
Which one was the dude?
I had no idea. That's cool. I had no idea.
Okay. Now here's a pair of movies. So it would be an actor from each. Flight of the Navigator and The Lion King.
So somebody from Flight of the Navigator is married to somebody in
is
The
or
Lion
was.
King.
Matthew
is.
Broderick and...
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yay.
Oh, that's right. Way
Look
to pull that
you.
One. That's
Look
awesome. Yeah. That was, right. That was the first time I saw her.
Dateline Disneyland from 1955. You know, Disneyland's opening.
Yeah.
And Bon Voyage.
Ronald Reagan and Nancy. Jane
Wyman.
Sky High and Bolt.
Ooh.
John Travolta. And Kelly Preston.
Very good. One Magic Christmas from 1985, and Bolt.
Miley Cyrus.
And the Jonas of the Day.
Wow. I don't know who else is in Bolt. Is Miley, is Susan Essman, who's a comedian.
Yeah, and whoever
Mark
she's married to.
And Mark Walton, who's a voice, who's just a character animator, who, right?
I will give you a hint on the voice from Bolt. It's the villain. It's the evil Dr. Calico.
Performed by?
Okay, you're not going to get this. Malcolm McDowell and Mary Steenburgen from One Magic Christmas.
Oh. That's a weird movie, by the way. The One Magic Christmas. That's the one with, like, the strange guy she just kind of picks up on the street.
Malcolm McDowell.
He writes, Malcolm McDowell and Mary Steenburgen were married from 80 to 90. It may be worth noting that in 95, Mary Steenburgen married Ted Danson. Thank you. Married Ted Danson after he broke up with Whoopi Goldberg. I wonder if they all get together for the holidays. I'm guessing no.
One Christmas.
The One Magic Christmas.
Swiss Family Robinson and The Happiest Millionaire.
Okay.
Swiss. Tommy Kirk. And
you said Happiest Millionaire?
Yeah.
And Swiss Family Robinson.
Yeah. Leslie Ann Warren.
Is that right?
Fred McMurray.
Is the female from Happiest Millionaire or the, from the
The female
other?
Is from The Happiest Millionaire.
Okay.
And I've never heard of her. Which makes her have something in common with the guy from Swiss Family Robinson.
Don't know.
James MacArthur and Joyce Boulafont.
James MacArthur, was that the dad? No.
This one is funny, considering something that happened earlier. The Ugly Dotson and the Princess Diaries.
Yes, Suzanne Bleshette.
And Tom Poston.
I didn't know they were married.
Yeah.
They were both in Bobby Hard, right?
Yeah.
I had no idea they were married.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what's funny is when he wakes up. Laying there.
Elmer Fudd. The Great Locomotive Chase and Super Dad.
Okay, so that had Fess Parker.
Yes, it did, but that's not the answer.
It had, who else? Superdad had Bob Crane.
Superdad the woman.
It had a blonde chick whose name
Bob
I don't
Crane
know.
As an F-troop?
Bob Crane is in Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah, the one with the...
Yes.
I don't think it's him.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not going to get this one.
Who is it?
Jeffrey Hunter and Barbara Rush.
Correct. We are not going to get that one.
Married from 50. And then this is the hard one. Johnny Tremaine and Herbie Goes Bananas.
Herbie?
And Miley Cyrus.
Is Michelle Lee?
Mm-mm.
David Tomlinson?
Mm-mm.
Dean Jones?
Mm-mm.
Buddy Hackett?
Mm-mm.
None of them are in Herbie Goes Bananas.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying. I'm all stuck on Love Bug.
I'm trying to think of who's in Herbie Goes Bananas.
Okay, that's Harvey Korman, Cloris Leachman.
And apparently Fritz Feld.
Okay.
He's my favorite Fritz that didn't work for Warner Brothers Animation.
He was married to Virginia Christine and I Shall Read. Fritz Feld and Virginia Christine were married from 1940 until Feld's death in 1993. Virginia Christine was most famous for playing Mrs. Olsen on a long-running series of commercials for Folgers Coffee from 65 to 86. So many people were surprised to learn that she didn't have a Scandinavian accent in real life. Fritz Feld was a comic actor who appeared in such films as Bringing Up Baby, The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, Hello Dolly, Silent Movie, and The History of the World Part 1, another classic among those, plus some other films for Disney, The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, Herbie Rides Again, The Strongest Man in the World, and Freaky Friday 1976. He sometimes plays waiters and might be remembered for making a popping sound by slapping his hand to his mouth.
Ow.
Jeff?
No, not slapping his face.
Oh.
There you go.
I can't do it, though. I've never been able to. I've never been able to do that.
I got skills. Jeff, I ask once again, what are you on?
Those were great, though. That was fun.
That was a very fun Stump the Crew. Thank you, Jeff.
And you know,
what's sad is I actually know a lot of actors for those films, just not the right ones. Oh, well.
It's nice to know that we know something for once.
Yes, yeah,
with Stump the Crew.
All right, we love Stump the Crew from you guys, so send your questions to podcastleftplace.com. The best way is to send the questions in one email and the answers in another. If you want to send more than one question, we appreciate it, but please put the answers in separate emails in case we only want to use some on any given show.
Please send the question email first.
Doesn't matter. As long as
we can do a Jeopardy stuff.
As long as the subject says question and answer.
What is?
I believe that's the show. I believe that's the show today. 866-789-408, podcastleftplace.com.
Yes.
Unless someone has something they want to say before we say goodbye. Anybody? Bueller. Ooh, I hate that. Anybody?
let me think. I was discussing with you, Doobie, a very interesting. I think I'm going to be compiling a list of this. There and we came off the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man over at Universal's
Great Disney attraction. Yes.
Great Disney attraction, and I said to him, there are three perfectly executed attractions. Muppet Vision 3D, Kilimanjaro Safari, and The Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. And I think I'm going to continue that list, and I'll post it sometime. Just you know, and maybe even others will be able to kind of go in and just what, in your opinion, not even necessarily like whether or not it's to your taste or whatever. Just perfectly executed attraction.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Okay.
I think Test Track perhaps is one. Why would you say it's not?
Because it breaks.
That's all. So if it's working,
I think there are some things that you could have done potentially with your concept that they didn't necessarily do.
Okay.
I couldn't necessarily elaborate on that. I would think about it.
But. Which is all overridden by the fact that it just simply isn't regularly operational.
Yeah.
Okay, and
maybe it needs some
fiber. Which often is the goal of a
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When I mean perfectly executed, I mean just the ride vehicle and everything or whatever, just involved. Everything is just perfectly, everything's just...
All right, that's a very fair
perfectly
response.
Executed.
Test Track is far from perfect.
Particularly with the vehicle, I'll add, because I'll mention to you the things that I noticed, which befuddle me. And first off, that the back row has less leg room than the front row for
By
no apparent reason.
Far.
And the middle seats don't have over the shoulder seatbelts, and they go a different direction. So you'll be buckling your seatbelt, and you'll like be like,
just like in a car.
Is that the only reason? Because I'm thinking if you need a seatbelt, a 3-point seatbelt in the right seat, you should need one in the center seat too.
I think it's just to beam it.
For
no, but even then, they should. I don't think they should be sharing the same side.
Yeah, no,
should
that,
they all
that's
be
sure.
You know, right to left to right or whatever?
Not in a car, no. Because in a car, you know, over the shoulder, they have to both come from the outside.
But it's always really awkward and uncomfortable.
But this is a ride vehicle where you're. Yeah. It's just funny.
You know what amazes me about Test Track is GM actually pays to be associated with that attraction.
Still? They're not just burning off the we were 2 years late with your ride money.
I mean, because when you think of precision engineering and stability, you don't think Test Track.
Even programmers can't operate Test Track.
No, I mean, I get it. But you would think that I would not be surprised if GM is disappointed the fact that the attraction that bears their name is not stable in any stretch, shape, or form.
But just remember, Epcot. Even programmers can't operate Test Track.
I will say in kind of somewhat defense of that, the car that you're in is not clearly a GM car. So therefore, I don't necessarily ever
think of...
Don't they
have the GM logo on them?
But it doesn't look like a real car.
Right.
It looks like a theme park car.
But no one's saying that. But still, when you... I mean, even if it wasn't a test... even if it was just... I'm trying to think who else sponsors something. Kodak and Imagination. Yeah, you want the attraction to be...
No one wants to sponsor, have their name associated with an attraction that just doesn't work.
Okay. I agree. I'm just saying that I don't think it's as negative a connection as you might think initially.
I hope not, or I'm sure they would have pulled their name off by now.
Yeah.
Or maybe that's why they're asking for their share of the bailout money. Fanboy? Oh, this is that guy.
Red, yellow, green, red, blue, 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 red, purple, green, yellow, orange, red, 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 yellow, green, red, blue, 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 red, purple, green, yellow, orange, red, red.
Blend them all, but what do you get? Marisha, Cruz, and Aqua, Mau, Beige, and Ultramarine, and every color in between. Color has its harmony, and that's what I have said. Red, yellow, green, red, blue, 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 red, purple, green, yellow, orange, red, red.
Hey, dude, whatever happened to Blue Dilly Dilly Dilly?
Silly. Oh, I have that, too.
See what you've started.
You and your new iPhone.
I know, it's disturbing.
Pull it off the air.
Yeah, exactly.
RIA is going to be knocking on my door. I'm sending that royalty bill to you.
Great-grandfather met great-grandmother. I want to go on America Sings.
I was thinking, I want to have an ugly bug ball.
Once again, go to the weasel. Rebecca, do you have anything to say other than playing a song?
Disney theme parks are more fun for pregnant people than Universal theme parks.
wait. We got to regain our composure from the explosion that was.
Let's go to our.
Disney theme parks are more fun for pregnant people. Than Universal theme parks.
Did you do anything in Iowa?
Anything anywhere? Like, no, what did you do?
I don't think... I mean, okay, we spent yesterday at... the parks were so crowded up at Universal.
Oh, it was horrible.
The term is popular.
No.
It was funny because actually we actually were able to go. We got to the theme
parks. The zombies were there? That Halloween Horror Nights are over.
We got to the theme parks at 9. We left at 6 and we went through both parks and pretty much saw everything.
We had... I mean, 125-minute wait and 120-minute wait.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Jaws was a 20-minute wait and Simpsons was a 20-minute
wait. They just don't staff it.
And Simpsons was a 25-minute wait. Literally, everything else was a walk-on.
Walk-on.
Literally.
But as a pregnant woman, you know, can't do Spider-Man or Bluto's Barge Rats Bluto's Bilge Rats Barges.
You can't. Popeye and Bluto's Bilge Rat Barges.
Yeah, can't
say
do
that five times fast, wise guy.
Can't do.
Popeye and Bluto's Bilge Rat Barges.
I can't. Let's see. Dudley Do-Right's Ripshaw Falls.
Ripshaw Falls.
Oh yeah.
Get it? It's a song.
Jurassic Park. Couldn't do that. Dueling Dragons.
Then
no.
Don't you dare.
What?
Oh,
can you do the queue line? Because that's like an attraction in and of itself.
I didn't bother. let's see. Mythos lunch. That was phenomenal, and I was able to do that.
Ooh, Sinbad. Sinbad. That might cause like problems for the baby, wouldn't it?
I could have done Sinbad, but opted not to.
Its first words will be.
I could have done the carousel and opted not to.
And the
could have done the Poseidon Fury and opted not to. I don't think I was permitted on Cat in the Hat.
Nope.
I didn't look because that ride kind of makes me a little dizzy. I figured being pregnant it'd be worse.
You could have done the carousel.
Yeah, the carousel.
Carousel.
Oh, could you have gone on Sylvester Monkey McBean's flying machines?
I did.
Okay,
I did
fanboy is being a sumo wrestler.
I didn't look because I was concerned about if they had to evacuate me off that ride, it would not be easy to do because it's elevated. So I didn't look to see whether or not I could have. And then over at Universal.
You're proposing they have a way to evacuate you off that ride.
Couldn't do the Simpsons is what. Let's see. The family went to Simpsons.
Mummy,
Men in Black. Couldn't do any of those.
Jaws.
Could I have done Jaws? Would they have let me on Jaws?
I believe Jaws had a warning.
Yeah, I figure Jaws has a warning. So over there, I suspect they would have permit me on Twister, which we didn't even try to go to, and T2. Which we didn't try.
Electric Boogaloo. Yeah.
I didn't go on any rides yesterday.
Yes.
I spent all day, you know, waiting for all my family to come off the rides, which is fine. I had a nice time. I mean, I have a pass there, so it's not like I was wasting money or whatever because you know it's just included admission. But it was fun. I had a good time. It's a nice park. I mean,
it is. Nice pair of parks.
Yeah. I
can't wait for the parade.
It feels so bad for Islands of Adventure because it's a beautiful park. It has really great offerings, but it was just so built out that they haven't really, until now with Harry Potter, they really haven't done anything new since it opened. And it didn't just draw people in vast numbers, but they didn't really have any money to do anything to kind of help it. So it's just kind of there and I hope that Harry Potter brings them in to help with that because I like the island. I like the Universal theme parks. I mean, in a different way than the Disney theme parks. But I like the variety, and I'd hate to see it, you know, just totally.
It amazes me that a park that when it opened was called by many the greatest theme park in the world with the single greatest attraction in the world can be that empty on a regular basis.
Well, that's why they're spending $1.4 billion on it, isn't it? Oh, IOA.
I mean, that's just amazing to me. And it's, you know, 15 minutes from Disney that's possible.
Yeah.
I never would have thought that possible.
So it'll be interesting to see how Harry Potter impacts it. I mean, like I say, right now, pretty much except summertime and like spring break and stuff, whenever I've gone, it's, you know, not very crowded. They sell this Universal Express thing, you know, where you pay additional money and you get in front of the line. But I can't think of very many times I've been to the theme park where I can actually say, oh, yeah, that would have been worth it because everything's been so accessible.
Yeah, only when rides open is when you really ever run into
lines.
Like, I remember waiting, like, 90 minutes for The Mummy.
Yeah, I can remember waiting about an hour for The Simpsons.
What for 40-minute downtime included in there?
Oh, that's true. Forgot about that part. So, yeah. Cool. So it'll be fun to see the impact that Harry Potter has.
All right.
Oh, and by the way, Islands of Adventure gets you wet.
Yeah, you could say that again.
Oh, dude.
I'm just glad that Mythos won again.
The food
theme
there,
park insider.
The food, food there is so good. I would have to say that as far as in theme park dining, that is the one of the best restaurants. I know.
No.
The best.
I know according to
get theme your park, name on the banner.
I know according to themeparkinsider.com voting, it is the number one restaurant. But
was it voting or something?
I mean, I totally have to agree. Yeah. It the food there is just amazing. It was your first time there, Captain.
Uh huh. It was
what'd
good
you
stuff.
Have?
It was like a buffalo chicken wrap with like a. Cheddar mashed potatoes actually in there.
Wrapped into the wrap.
It was
good I've
stuff.
Never been.
I had a tortilla soup followed by
every time
by
we go, you take me to Jurassic Cove.
You buy the meal deal.
We bought that yeah. once.
Meal deal doesn't work at Mitha.
I had a risotto. They have every day. They have a
foie
risotto
foie.
Of the day. I had a risotto with beef tips and a tortilla soup. Doobie had a magnificent like Santa Fe salad with cheddar.
With little churros in it.
With like cheddar yeah, cheese and stuff.
The best part was the little churros.
One of the other people at our table got a cedar plank salmon. What did Kathy get? She got, I remember it had a little crab cake on top, but I can't remember what was underneath it. And we skipped dessert, which the desserts there are always good, so.
Cool.
Yep.
I think that's it. Podcast at laughingplace.com, 866-789-4408. This has been the LPP podcast number 101, which means for you people out there who are my kindred spirits, it's dedicated to Depeche Mode.
And Test Track.